Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
This morning's message probably will appeal more to those. Excuse me, I've recently come through a cold, so I might have to take a minute here. But it's going to appeal to those who are raising adult children. How many are raising, or their children have left, and they are now adults? Okay, I'm glad. And for those who do not, who still have your children at home, there's something for you as well. I thought that there'd be some kind of parenting finish line. And I found out there is. You have to die. Have you ever watched a balloon release? Now, I know we don't do them no more because it's hard on, I guess, the environment, birds or something. Not sure. Sorry if you're thinking, oh, yeah, there's a boomer going off again about how things have changed. But we used to do them at birthday parties and stuff. You know, somebody have helium and you fill a bunch of balloons. And the kids would just love it. You know, these balloons all take off and disappear into the sky, you know. Well, I've watched those. And I watched one at a birthday party, and these balloons took off. And some of them rose so nicely, just soared upward. And others, the wind caught them, and they kind of blew and got tangled up in a tree under the eaves of a house. And some just went sideways and blew down the road along the curb and got stuck under a car. Raising kids is kind of like that. Some of them rise so nicely. Some of them struggle to get clear of the trees. And then some of them just don't launch at all. And they get stuck. When I think about, I want to talk about adult children, but first, I want to tell a different story. I'm a storyteller. I think I'm in good company because Jesus used them too. Amen? Something about a story. So we must have, Barry mentioned the missions work we have done, and I'm thinking 15 to 18 houses we built for homeless people in Mexico, a couple of churches, another one in Costa Rica. I have forgotten all of the teams. There were years I would take two teams, it would take me a week to recover. When I got back, just completely fried. They were high spiritual times. We're on the cutting edge of the Great Commission. We're in this bubble of this hothouse of spiritual, you know, just on the edge and hunting for souls. And they were fruitful mission trips. And we always came back with more than we took. We always came back with a team that stuck together. And somehow when you travel internationally and you're having to make shower times and bathroom breaks and toilet stops and some people have particular problems, you get to know each other. And that's the juice. That's the gold that we got from the mission trips. But on one of those trips, we renovated a church kitchen. And I can remember the year. It was in 1999. We took down new stove, new cupboards, new pantry, new electrical panel, plumbing, everything right down to the kitchen sink and counters. We loaded it all up on a separate bus and we brought it all down there. Paint, we had gallons of donated paint. And it was to boost the church, but I had another motive. I wanted to improve the facilities. I keep walking off the square, so sorry you guys. I'll try and do better. I had another motive, was to establish a home base for future missions. And if your team is able to have a hot shower at the end of the day, it makes the team work a lot better throughout the whole trip. Because when some people start to get kind of funky, they are kind of grumpy. Amen? A shower is a miracle thing. It changes everything. So we renovated this kitchen, and as I said, was to help the church, but we had other motives in it. And at the time, I remember thinking, this church has a better kitchen than the one we have at home. Shouldn't it be that way? The things we give away shouldn't be our seconds, should they? We built a new church 20 years ago, and I had all kinds of people wanting to donate things that they were done with to put into the new church. Thanks for your old couch. I think Jesus would like the new one you just put in your house. This church had been built with reclaimed lumber. And so it had come from everywhere. And it was kind of a post and beam construction. It wasn't really sound. I know there was no blueprint for what we were working with, because I stood on the roof. Another thing about when we were 30 years ago in youth leadership and all that fun we had, we were lighter then. But I'm man-sized now, and that roof felt about as sturdy as this trapdoor. Anyway, the team were painting inside, because it had no paint. And they were painting and painting and painting, and they would come, Pastor Daniel, we painted it, and look at it. And these heavy beams that they used had been somewhere where they had absorbed a lot of smoke, soot. And that soot kept bleeding through the paint. I don't know how many layers of paint. They kept putting another layer on, and it would look good, and then this would leach through again. Anybody fought something like that in their painting, trying to, you know? So this bleeding through, we couldn't solve it, and eventually we had to just leave it and as it was. And we dedicated that kitchen, and it was, as I said, better than the one we had at home. Now, I want to just park that story. Just a random story. I want you to kind of just park it and move it off to the side. This past summer now, so that was 1999. Let's fast forward. And it almost seems like that to me. Like it has gone by quick. So this past summer was a very busy one for Judy and I. I wish she was here. She's definitely my better half. She was 18 and I was 20 when we were married. 42 years later, we have 3 daughters and 1 son. 3 grandsons. You know I'm moving toward the parenting thing. So this last summer, after being married 42 years, having our children, our last 2 daughters decided that this was the summer they would both be married. So one wedding was in May, and the other one was in August. My wife said to me the other day, she said, I did a kind of rough total on what everything cost us this summer. Do you want to know the answer? No. It was a very expensive summer. But of all the things you would spend your money on, it's the right thing. We had a wonderful 2 weddings, and I was so grateful to be there because of the Widowmaker heart attack. I shouldn't have been there. So grateful as I was able to walk my girls up the aisle and give up my last 2 daughters. Good men. We like those guys. They're good guys. And so as far as I was concerned, the money was well spent. We liked the boys. I still refer them as the stinky boys. Came home with our daughters. They don't phone me no more when they have a flat tire. They don't call me when they have car trouble. Did you think I was grieving? At the last wedding, they had the pictures outside the cathedral in Saskatoon. So right there in Spadina, there's a beautiful park area, and the old cathedral that they were married in. So we are all out there in these beautiful outfits, and everybody looks their best. My daughters were drop-dead, dry mouth, gorgeous. So a lot of honks, people driving by, pictures being taken. And I was just soaking it all up, watching the pictures being taken and all these celebrations, but there's something missing. It was kind of like a dull headache, kind of like a toothache that just kind of hovers there, tendonitis ringing, and there's something in all of this perfect, wonderful family hallelujah celebration. There was something, the pictures, the father of the bride, the mother and the bride, the siblings, the wedding party, and so on. You know, come on, come over here, get in this picture. Everybody crowd to say cheese, you know how it all goes. We have one son and three daughters, as I said, and three grandsons. And one daughter was conspicuously missing. One daughter, our oldest daughter, is estranged to us. And I don't know where she is. I don't know where she lives. I've been blocked from her Facebook, from communicating, and I don't know where she is. She declined her sister's invitations to come, and she had been married several years before that. They were her bridesmaids, and she declined their invitations. And I suspect she lives in the same city as they do. It's the last rumor that I heard. People will ask me, how is Amanda? And I have to say to them, I don't know. I don't know. It's been years. I don't know where she works, where she plays. I know that we had a beautiful day for her and her husband. They were married, looked really good, young Christian man, missionary. About 3 years later, my daughter, just prior to COVID, came on the phone one night. She was in bad shape. She was crying, and the marriage was bad. She'd experienced some really rough masculinity. I'm sorry. We prayed for those guys from the day our daughters were born. And I'm not angry at my ex-son-in-law. He's just a kid. He needs to grow up. I think he's actually doing better right now than my daughter is. But she came home broken. She's a therapeutic counselor. She got a job. She was working. And then COVID hit. And she was at home, working from home. And there was a lot of mental health problems through COVID. And working from home, you don't have the camaraderie of staff and coffee breaks. And very alone. She spiraled down. And she crashed. She joined, has become part of the LGBTQ community. It's not uncommon for women who've suffered under bad masculinity. And as a parent, it is difficult to be rejected by your child. I gained a new perspective on my Heavenly Father in that. Sitting on that bench on Spadina, watching the girls and their friends and their husbands, my mind went back, and I remembered sitting with my first supervisor, Dennis Ramsey. He's gone on to be with the Lord for some time. We were sitting there, and my young daughter, my oldest, the one I'm speaking of, was running around with her brother, and they were having fun. So to you young families, Dennis said to me, you know, Dan, I know you think it's tough right now. Those kids demand a lot. You're busy. They make your schedule busy. But believe me when I tell you that this is the easiest part of parenting that you will ever experience. He said, and I quote, one day you won't know where she is. You won't know if she's happy. Is she riding in a car? Is she being treated nicely? Is she enjoying the things that life is showing her? And I heard him, because you know I remembered it, right? And I paired that image with what I was watching, and I thought to myself, wow. I guess somehow in me, I didn't believe it could really happen to us. Because, you know, we We dedicated her to the Lord. The Bible was read in our home. We family devotionals and prayer. I remember the day she walked off the shoreline to be baptized. I remember her on mission trips, and even as an adult at 25, going onto the mission field, singing and playing worship, very talented. I know we're not alone. I have no doubt that there's some here in this room and even online who have children living a life that does not reflect their raising. So, in all of this time, I think of our daughter, and people would come to us and ask us, "How's Amanda?" And sometimes I knew they were generally concerned. Other times I think they just were looking for gossip fodder. And so often people would come and comfort us, and they would quote us Proverbs 22:6. And you know how it goes. Raise up a child in the way they should go. Older, they'll not depart from it. It got so that I didn't want anyone to tell me that verse, because it had become a platitude. I actually hated that verse. Don't tell me that verse. I got so tired of hearing it. Flashback now. As I watched the pictures being taken, my happy children were celebrating, even with the one that was missing. I asked God, "What about that?" And then it occurred to me, I wonder if she's here somewhere. In the cars that are driving by, is she sitting on a balcony somewhere? Is she watching this from a distance? She could be. She could be in one of these cars that's driving by right now. And in all of that commiserating and lamenting as I sat there, and I'm enjoying it, it's a great day, another smile crossed my lips. I know the Lord's on it. He knew her first. He loves her more. He knew what she would do the day she was born. I was way behind the curve. He knows where she is right now, knows who she's with, where she's going. And he knows her heart. No one, on my best day, in the height of any power of manipulation or orchestration, could I ever come close to what my God can do in the life of my daughter. And then I had to release that and hold her a little looser, because she was his daughter. She had belonged to the Lord. When I thought he loved her first, no one can reach her better than the Holy Spirit. Be in and around her, in the places that she goes, and if I know one thing about her for sure, she knows her Bible. So then Psalm 139 came to my mind, and I want to read that to you today, 139, and I'm just going to read verses 1 to 13. And I have read this psalm and thought of it differently until that day on Spadina. O Lord, thou searchest me and know me. And I want you to think of this in context of that son or daughter that you're struggling with, that prodigal that you know. You have searched me and you know me. My God knows her. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. He knows when she lays down. I don't. He knows when she rises up. He understands my thought from afar off. God gets her. And our communication has not been good. But God does. Thou compassest my path and my laying down, art acquainted with all of my ways. She's a sitting duck for the Holy Ghost. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. This is from someone who's in a positive place with the Lord, but it's also true of those who are trying to flee. Whether I shall go from thy spirit, or whether I shall flee from thy presence. If I ascend up to heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, hiding from you. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. The Holy Spirit will pursue her through any door that she goes through, into any crowd she's mingling in. Thou art there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, if even if there shall thy hand lead me and thy right hand shall hold me, verse 10, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou covered me in my mother's womb. There's two parts to the proverb that I have come to hate. There's two parts to it. Notice the first part is, it happens now. Train them up in the way they should go. Then the second is later. When they are old, they shall not depart from it. I know my daughter. She knows her Bible. She knows the Lord. So I'm wrapping up. If you're wondering about that timer that's turning your oven on, those people who are going to meet you for lunch. The knowledge of the Lord that we put into our children will be held fast. No matter how, in the seasons of life, they might try to avoid it or work against it, it truly is for them an identity crisis of its own. That they are coming against their very core values that were put in there. The early child development people say the big pieces are in there by the time they're five. Before you had memory, your core values were in there. I know the ones that we taught her. The truth of who God is, the power of the gospel to save, will leach through the best paint job ever. It doesn't matter how many coats of paint she puts on her life. In a little while, those core things that are soaked into her soul will leach through that paint. Just give it time. And thank you for yours. I'd like to pray. If you'd just stand with me for a minute before I step off the trapdoor. Close your eyes. Heavenly Father, I know that in a room this size, there are the hearts of parents tied up in the same thing that I am in. We love our children. We are concerned and we worry. But if I think I've learned it, we are to cast those worries onto you. My power is so limited, but yours is unlimited. And so for the parents of those prodigals, Lord, I pray your spirit now would encourage them and that they would hear the words I heard on that park bench. I got this. I got this. You do have it, Lord. and no one better, no one more qualified, no one more able to do, to complete that which you have begun. So for those parents, I pray you just release them, that they might find the peace of Christ instead of the fret that they have lived in. For the young parents, that this seems out there, whatever happened to me, Lord, that you would, as you did to me so many years ago, fasten some words that were said today as nails that they may need to refer to in another season of their lives. Thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. We are blessed, and we have so much to look forward to.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.